and to do your will. Lord, we are so thankful. We bless you. We praise you. We ask that you would quieten our spirits that may be raging from whatever we have done just a few seconds ago, whatever was going on in our lives last night, whatever is happening in this brand new day. Quieten our spirit. Quieten our minds. Let our focus be submitted to you and you alone. Let our hearts be committed to you and you alone. Let our souls be controlled by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you please bless everyone that is on this call and all that will call in. Lord, block chaos and confusion. Block the adversary who wants to distract us from what you have for us to receive today. Oh, Lord, have your way today. Have your way, Father. Bless Jeanette as she brings forth your word. Your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word, Father, which brings healing. Your word, Father, that gives us hope for today and tomorrow. Your word, Lord God, which is all we need, which is what your son Jesus put back on Satan and told him to get behind him. Oh, your word is what we need today, Father. So fill us with your word. Fill us, Father, so that we may go out into this dark world and be a light, Lord, that will transform and renew the hearts of the children that are in our home, the ones that are in our neighborhoods, the people that we come in contact with at work, that we would be filled with your truths, Lord God, and we can do work for your kingdom. For we are servants, Father, and we want to serve you, Lord, not just in our own little circles, Lord, of life, but, Lord, we want to serve you everywhere you send us to go. So, Father, encourage and strengthen Jeanette today. And strengthen each and every one that would listen to this call. Let their hearts be filled with an overwhelming joy and one that surpasses their understanding. Let them be encouraged and strengthened, Lord God, from what they will hear today, all of us that are on this call as well. And then, Lord, I pray for Xandra that, Lord, you would give her the strength that she needs, the energy that she needs, the hunger, the desire she needs, Lord God, to bring forth your word in a way that it will be crystal clear to our ears and to our hearts, that it will come into our ears, but, Lord, it seep and stays in our hearts, that we will become workers unto you that are not ashamed of your truth. So have your way today, Lord God. Have your way. Bless those that will come on the call later on. Bless them as well, Father. And those who want to be on but unable to, Father, bless them, Father. Lord, I ask a special blessing, Father, for this service today. Take over it, Lord. Take over it, Lord God, and have your way. This I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen, and thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Just one second. I'm going to close it off distractions. Okay. This week we are going to, I'm going to be in the Lord's teachings, I think, for a while until he tells me something different. Because I think we can't get enough of his foundational, his word. And we spend a lot of time with Paul. We spend a lot of time with even Peter and James, and that's great. But for some reason right now we're going to get a solid foundation of the instruction that Jesus himself gave in the short three-year period that he was teaching. We're going to start today, and it's going to be all over because I'm not in any sequence because there's four Gospels that all have, you know, four accounts. And today we're going to be in the 14th chapter of Luke, starting at the first verse.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold.
Why do you think of all the places that Jesus could go to have bread on the Sabbath? Why would he choose to go into the house of a Pharisee? Knowing how the Pharisees and Sadducees were constantly looking for a way to trap him. Anybody have any thoughts on why that might be?
Well, for one, I believe that since the Pharisees were very influential, why not go to their house? Why not hear what they're saying and speak as to what he wants them to hear? To maybe change their heart.
And give God the glory.
And give God the glory.
I think that that's probably as correct as it, you know, any guess is. You know what hits my heart is how often Jesus ate with publicans and sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Here he goes again. Here are the Pharisees and Sadducees that consider themselves, you know, so high and, you know, religious. Jesus came and spent time with all of the lost. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he was doing here, too.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Sometimes in our own ministries, we have a way of excluding different groups or lost. But Jesus didn't exclude anybody. Publicans, sinners, Samaritans, women. He crossed over all, and that group and these groups of lost people included the Pharisees. He knows that he's among enemies, but everywhere Jesus went, he was among enemies. Jesus came into a world that was under the rule of the prince of this world. So everywhere he went, whether it was a big crowd of 5,000 that he was ministering to, do you think in that crowd of 5,000 they were all his friends? Of course not. In a crowd of 5,000, you have a variety of people that are there for a variety of reasons. Maybe I need healing. Maybe I just want to hear what this guy's talking about. Maybe I want to see, is he going to deliver us from, you know, the oppression of Rome? Maybe I want to see if, you know, some miracles get done, and I want to see. Maybe I want to get on board with this guy. He might make a lot of money. Lots of people are following. Want to see what this is about. Maybe I want to see if he's the Messiah. I'm sure they were in the group too. But a lot of people, as today, go to church for a variety of reasons. So nothing's really changed. People are still remaining people. But I think that Jesus visited all groups, and I think as publicans and sinners and crippled and lame and poor and rich, here he is with the Pharisees, because all of this world was lost and is lost without him. Okay, keep going.
And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy, which is edema, swelling of the extremities. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent, and he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he
Wait,
told
we're stop there.
Sure.
So here we are, and that sounds, you know, very self-explanatory. Jesus asks the question. They don't even bother to answer it because they don't have an answer. But yet they're watching him constantly to see if they can find fault with him. Something they can hold on to further their own evil agendas. When Jesus, you know, to me, when you look at this and he says, well, you know, if any of you had a donkey or an ox or whatever and it fell into a pit, would you not rescue him even if it was on the Sabbath? What Jesus is setting a precedence here for, again, is that there are things that are far more that supersede the law. And he's showing you the flaw of the law. Get the picture?
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten spent a lot of time talking about laws and whatnot, and how the law is fulfilled in Christ and then in its own way abolished. because Jesus sets a precedence that if you just love one another and love God with all your heart and soul, everything else is taken care of. Well, here's a classic example, but he's giving you a setup, because in time, this is what he's trying to teach, is that the law doesn't stand. It's too flawed. It's like all the law does is expose you to being condemned. And yet it's flawed. You can't find, you know, if I can say, well, if you have a donkey or an oxen, the right thing to do is pull it out of a ditch. But the law says I can't walk so many steps and he's, you know, 1,000 feet from me. Get the picture? So mm-hmm. Jesus is beginning to expose the flaw of where the Pharisees, Sadducees, and rulers had taken the law and turned it into, you know, really just a terrible tool of oppression. They were more oppressed, I'm going to say it, by the law than they were by Rome. Rome wasn't telling them they can't walk more than two houses down on a Sunday. Rome wasn't doing that. Okay, keep going.
So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one or more honorable than you are invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. I know you.
What's going on here? What's going on here? And you can say, well, what I think the Lord is really trying to get us to see is stop trying to elevate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when we get in ministry, we're so excited about the ministry and that God is using us and he's taking us someplace that we've never been before, that the next thing you know, you start, you know, trying to rush your way to where he's taking you. And therefore, you start elevating yourself. You want to be seated in the place of honor. Well, once you do that and you try honoring yourself, what happens? He who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I don't think we're just talking about at a wedding feast. This is a parable. He's talking about in life. He's talking about places that we go. You know, certain churches are very known for, you know, big exalted chairs that you're allowed to sit in if you're an exalted one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you will find yourself ashamed and sitting in the worst spot in the house if you're exalting yourself and not allowing God to lift you up. So the parable sounds, you know, simple enough, but I think that in life we do it too, and especially in ministry.
Amen.
Haven't you seen people that maybe are being considered for an assistant manager position on a job? And all of a sudden they start trying to boss everybody around. Oops, they haven't been exactly offered the position yet.
Hmm.
Oops. Then they end up saying we went with another candidate. How humbling is that? God's people should carry themselves in a humble manner, not in an ostentatious way. And a lot of us, ostentatious comes in a lot of different packages. Sometimes we wear certain garb so that we're extra noticed. Just be humble and let God point you out. Then you know that you're not trying to force something into a place that you're not even there yet. Keep going.
I'd also like to add to, when you enter a place, such as a wedding, to make sure that you give honor to where honor is due.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that in honor being respect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And to replace always with respect. Okay, verse 10.
And that, again, goes into life. That's mm-hmm. not just the wedding. That's life.
Correct. That's life, yes.
So you walk into a place and there's a, you know, guest speaker or, you know, somebody in a position, acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledge that. Be humble enough to give somebody else the same respect and honor that maybe one day God will give you.
Amen.
He's a lot more likely to give it to you if you know how to honor somebody else.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. You don't honor somebody else, then you haven't learned lesson one.
Mm-hmm.
How can you ever be in a position to receive honor? Every job, I know in my walk here on earth, jobs that I had to do the lowly positions first.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that? And then as I, you know, as the businesses were built and I would bring new people in, where did I put them? And it didn't matter about their skill set. I put them in the lowliest position first. And what was one of my reasons? One of my reasons was so that when you are on the floor, when you're a master stylist, you will never forget what it feels like to be the person getting the lunches. So you will always respect the assistants.
Mm-hmm.
Always respect the people that are cleaning up the place after you. Always respect the people that make sure all the towels are ready. Why would you respect them? Because you remember what it was like to have that job.
Amen.
Well, I think God does the same. I think he guided me in business under his way. Because the Lord does the same. We have to start. If we start in a humble position, we won't forget how to treat people who are in it after.
Amen.
You don't talk to people all crazy because you have a position. Remember when you were and how important it was when you started into a class and you didn't know a lot about too much of anything. And you were afraid to ask questions because you felt like, you know, the teacher might embarrass you. If the teacher is embarrassing you, then maybe that teacher was, you know, missed that course on what it's like to, you know, be coming into a group and trying to catch up. Okay.
Verse 10. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Wow, that was beautiful. Verse 12.
It is.
Wow, that was good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here we are. If you take the lowest seat, how do you feel if you took the lowest seat and you were left there? And no one said anything. They just let you sit in the lowest seat.
Yeah, so pretty funny.
You know how I would feel? Really glad I didn't take a higher seat.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have to endure the embarrassment of
mm-hmm.
elevating myself when I don't know everybody in the room.
Right.
I don't know what their position is. And I want to say this. When you're in a situation in a group, you don't know everybody in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're thinking, well, you know, I'm head and shoulders or whatever it is that gives you pride. And then you find out that there's a person that is 5,000 times what you think you are in the room. You would never know because he's Einstein and he dresses
mm-hmm.
poorly. I can only imagine how many places Einstein went and was snubbed because of the way he dressed. But they didn't realize they have a brilliant mind among them. But I assure you, if he was invited to a gathering, the person who invited him knew who he was. Everyone would expect Einstein, the bum, to go sit somewhere. Don't even know why you're here. You can't even comb your own hair. And then here you are, putting yourself, you've assessed the room and you think you're pretty much, you know, the cream of the crop of the room. And someone brings out the bum Einstein and says, oh, no, please take this seat. Excuse me, could you just find another seat? This is Einstein.
Sounds like a heart condition. Sounds like a heart condition and a prideful thing that within the person who thinks like that to begin with. So that's part of learning God's word and understanding that our place in life, that we are servants. And we're servants unto the Lord. And so to serve the Lord, we serve people. And that helps us to understand our position and not to have that heartening that the world wants you to have, because the world is often telling you you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can do it, nobody else can. And it's gleaned from positive thinking, which is nothing wrong with that, but it goes well beyond that because it creates a heartening of the heart and the attitude.
Jesus was constantly going through this with his disciples who were, you know, wondering who among them was going to be the greatest. And Jesus was very clear. He said, if you want to be the greatest, then you come up under. You learn how to serve. Mm-hmm. The greatest among you will be the one who serves. Mm-hmm. Which is just an amazing concept because it's so upside down in our world. Mm-hmm. The manager wants to do, you know, pretty much nothing and get all the credit for what everybody else is doing. No, Jesus says it's kind of the opposite. You get in there and help them. You get behind them, not in front of them. So if you really think you want to be great in the kingdom, this is what it's going to look like for you. So I'll ask, how many people, not just on this call or that will listen to it later, but how many people are really ready for that? Because so many people find themselves even getting into ministry more for recognition and title than they do for what it's really going to cost and what it really is entailed. They want the honor, they want the respect, but they don't want to do the work.
Amen.
And the work, you're so busy with the work that it's, you know, the work is pushing other people up to become what God intends them to be. Well, where are you in that picture? You're the tail. Oh, it gets better. Keep going.
Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Amen.
That's a beautiful passage, but I'm going to tell you how often we miss this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a parable. This is just him saying. And when we give dinners, or we have an event, it's so amazing to me how so many of us, our focus is the who's who. They will belabor the guest list on the who's who. Well, this person doesn't really get along with that person so well. And people that are actually in need, that's the last person you're inviting. They're not even, I'll help them by giving them $5 if I see them on the corner next week, but no, they're not. Certainly not invited to my house. Let's not get ridiculous. But the example Jesus sets here is that, no, you got food to give away? You want to have a big hoopla of some sort? These are the people. And reading this just convicted me because it reminded me of what the Lord said about second chance. He told me we are not allowed to charge people that we invite to the play, and we're supposed to feed them too.
Amen.
So who is that going to be? It's going to be people in, you know, circumstances and conditions that probably aren't, you know, flying high with a whole bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the people he has sent us to reach. Those are the people he came for. And I find it interesting how he says that you will not be able, they will not be able to repay you by inviting you to the next big event at their house.
Yeah, that was good.
They probably don't even have a house.
Mm-hmm.
So their house is too small to entertain or whatever, whatever. So you won't be getting paid back by them. What a concept if we can just embody this concept to not be giving to those that we're just really exchanging. I gave you $15, now you gave me $15. Isn't that cool? Well, let's do this again. There's nothing gained there. He's telling you to have a different view when you're serving people. Don't just serve people who you think can benefit you later.
That's the world's way.
That's the world's way. Get it out of your mind. Get it out of your mind. Just go do what God has called you to do for the reasons that he's called you to do it. And that's because souls are what is at stake, not money. I've watched, especially in this part of the country, even more so than in other parts of the country, I've been blessed to live in. And when I say this part, I'm talking more the Bay Area than even Los Angeles. People are even funny at who they'll associate with. They want to ask you the minute they meet you, so where do you work? What do you do?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why? Because they want to know if they consider you in a category that they want to associate with. Because I don't really want any friends that, you know, can't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How opposite God's word. Well, this person, not really the same educational level. So, everything from eyeballing what kind of car you drive and making their assessments as to whether or not you're worthy to be in their circle. And we do the same thing. People, a lot of us have the same value system.
Yeah.
And it's an ugly value system.
Yes.
You're not valuing the person. You never even get to know the person. Matter of fact, you make all kinds of judgments because this person doesn't have or didn't work or didn't do what you thought, you know, qualified them to be on your level.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to do better, people. We need to reach out beyond the superficial and begin to see people as God sees them. Okay, Richard?
Yeah, that brings back a point that you touched on, which is very good, because it touched me from the standpoint, we want to be rewarded from people, not God. God is saying, let him reward you, not people.
Mm.
Let that sink in. That's why we invite people that have things, people that are doing things, people that are going places. So we want to associate with them because we want our rewards from people and what they can give us, which will burn up, has no value. But if we want to be rewarded by God, we would do it totally the opposite.
I wonder how much status is going to matter. What zip code you live in is going to matter when you stand before God.
Zero.
Amen, sister.
Is he going to say, well, first of all, what was your zip code?
Yeah.
The world's values.
Yeah.
Heavy.
But we're living in the world, people, so let's not underestimate its pull on us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a very, very strong pull, and you have to keep pulling back. You know what? I'm getting ready to deal with something, and I'm asking the Lord, guard my heart.
Amen.
Guard my heart. Because it's really, really easy if you have a need and somebody else has excess to say, oh, well, maybe they could do this or they could do that, or and start, you know, down a road that I'm not, what I've got to deal with, I have nothing to do with what they have or don't have.
Amen.
I would go there and do what I have to do, whether they were in a rest home or whether they were in a palace.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about riches here on earth that affects people's heart.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't consider myself, and I'm urging everyone under the sound of my voice, don't ever get so comfortable in your walk with God that you think you're untouchable by the world.
Amen.
It's easy to think I'm past that. It's easy to think, oh, that's not a stronghold for me. Oh, it's easy to think I've never fallen in it. I've never been material. Don't underestimate and overestimate yourself.
Amen.
The prince of this world has been working on his program a long time.
Over 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Since Adam and Eve.
That's what I said. Yeah.
So we have to be very, very mindful and humble when you're going into spiritual wickedness in high places. When we're coming into some job that we think is so great. When we're looking at possible prestige on a string. Make sure you're running this by God and asking God to protect your heart.
Yes, Lord.
That the flattery or the this or the that or whatever it is can't penetrate your heart.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
I think God, the Heavenly Father, would rather leave you in a low place than see you contaminated by this world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody says, oh, I can handle this, I can handle that. And you don't know what you can handle until you're facing it.
Amen.
Right.
The adversary thinks everybody can be bought at a price. Remember Job?
Mm-hmm.
He felt everybody can be bought at a price. He's got good reason to think that. But we have something better than that. We have the Holy Spirit now that can shield us and protect us and pray in advance and cover us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that we have to go into an area that could contaminate you.
Yes.
You can be shielded and protected or blocked.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Verse 15. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Right. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. I asked you to have me. That's just so funny. I'm sorry. Verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still, said another, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And
stop
the servant said,
I want to ask, what do you think is going on here? Why all these people got something else to do? What do you think is going on there?
They can't be embarrassed. They can't be
too prideful? That they can't be. I don't know.
Could it be that they all, with one accord, began to make excuses? In other words, I don't think they valued the man that invited them.
Oh, say that again.
Isn't that something?
It's the truth. I've seen it happen.
They did this in one accord. That means they got together and decided to all boycott the guy's dinner. What does that look like here? This is a parable. What does this look like here?
You mean here on earth?
Yes. What's going on right now? What is this? How does that play out? How do you see that now?
In our president, the level of disrespect and dishonor.
What about how the Lord has offered eternal life and invited so many people, and so many people have chosen to reject it?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking this man, what he was offering was more than just food. He was offering something that was going to change their lives, and they did not want that. The food was definitely something that they had themselves, so they were not what's important. So they felt like, well, I don't want to go hear what he's saying if it's going to change my life. I just feel like, we can go do something else instead.
And we all got together behind his back and talked about it.
Behind his back,
He was offering them something more than just food.
I want you to know that that's what it looks like as the world comes up against the kingdom of God here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
The very ones invited, the Jews, rejected him. The world rejects him. But who are the people that find their way to the feast?
Lame.
The lame, maimed,
blind. Lame, crippled, blind. What does that look like?
Those that are...
That are hungry
for healing.
Mm-hmm.
People that recognize they have a need. People that are already broken and recognize they're broken. The people he invited, apparently they don't even recognize they're broken.
Right.
They have options. They have wives. They have this. They have that. They've got ground they got to go look at. Did you say that? Did you say ground I have to go look at?
When he said that, I'm like, really? I'm like, for real?
In other words, we're doing all right.
Right.
We don't want our lives interrupted with whatever it is you're offering.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I want to say this because it hurts my heart. How many times do we find how difficult it is to minister to people who think they're doing well?
Amen.
They are the hardest ones to reach because they don't really see, what do I need it for?
What it does for me. What can it do for me? Nothing.
I got this. I got that. I have everything I need. What do I need that for? What do I need God in my life, quote unquote, for? What's he supposed to bring that I don't have?
Exactly. Or he already has given me all this. So I'm good.
I have to bring up that is sometimes the reason that you don't find there a whole lot of Christians that are very wealthy. There are those, but often the more we get, the less interested we are in talking to God. That's sad, but it's real. So these people, they turn around and they reject and they come up together with a plan. Let's all not go to his little stupid thinking. Enter in his dinner. He ain't got nothing one. We're not going, and we're not even going to tell him. We're going to let him send his only begotten son to earth and then reject it. Did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let this man make this sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then because of what this earth is offering us, we're going to reject the gift.
Mm.
This is a powerful, powerful man in the story, but it was God in reality. Mm-hmm. And yes, God became angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, now go out and get all these other people, the people that everyone thinks is nothing.
Right.
We're going to have a banquet.
Mm-hmm.
My table will be full.
Yes.
But it won't be for those.
Hmm.
Keep going.
Verse 22. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say,
people. Hold on
Excuse
one
me?
Second. Who are these people?
Sure.
The Lord just spoke to me. These are the Gentiles. The Gentiles in the furthest outreaches of the earth, in the jungles, in the deserts, the people who have never known my name. No, keep going. Go a little further. Push it. What? The table's still not full? Go out, keep pushing, go as far as you need to go to get as many into the kingdom as possible. My table will be filled.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And here
Hallelujah.
We are. And here we are. Keep going.
Oh, here, this is the clincher right here, verse 24. For I say to you, that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.
Amazing. Amazing.
Daddy don't play, you see? Right there.
You know, but look at what he has in this story extended to mankind.
Yes, the grace. That's grace
now,
in action.
Take it out
right
of it
here.
Being a supper. Take it out of it being a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father sends prophet after prophet. They kill them. Then he sends his son. They kill him. But his son makes the sacrifice and even comes out of heaven so that we can be saved. So that all of us can be back in the Father's presence.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
The ones he came to reject him. I came unto my own received me not, but to as many as did, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So here we see early again the Gentile plan, the plan that everybody would be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
That the weakest, the poorest, the corner of the earth, an aborigine, somebody in the farthest, tiniest spot, God will reach them until his table is full. Hey, I'm already at the table. So I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
I got to come. I'm already at the table.
Yeah.
And we are going out because we're the servants of this master. So go out and bring as many back to the table as possible. That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like about it, too. I like the fact that he said this servant. That's the servant. So we are the servants to go out and do our job.
Yes.
To bring them in.
I'm not the invited guest anymore. I'm the servant of the living God. I'm the servant of the master of the house.
Yes. With a joyful heart, I'm the servant.
Amen.
So let's do our part. Let's go out there and find people in the very corners of the earth, whether they're blind, crippled, lame, poor. Doesn't matter. What a beautiful, 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 beautiful passage.
True. Which brings True. Back to mind is that if you are, if the rich, the wealthy, the influence refuses you, don't be discouraged.
Amen.
Don't be discouraged. Keep going out.
Amen.
Hmm. Beautiful lesson. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Also Amen. Understand, since we're, Richard brought that up, also understand that what appears to be the richest on earth is often the poorest in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They need it more than anyone because their hearts are almost untouchable because it's crowded with things of this world.
Of the world. Yes, amen.
They have a gap, amen. But they just keep trying to fill it because there's no end to their ability to try to fill it.
Mm.
By the time you're just laying in the street, crippled and poor and with nothing, you realize the only one that can help you is God.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
All need God. All need God.
It's funny how others are propped up, but they're in the same condition, but they can't see that.
Mm-hmm. Say that again. Mm. You can't see it.
Same condition. They're in the streets, which are prisons that have no keys.
Mm.
Amen. You've always said that. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Any comments?
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic. That was a great place to put a period. That was outstanding. Because this is what we're facing day to day, and we really have to get busy and in inviting people to the Lord's table, whatever that looks like, however that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
There's an urgency. I think that's why Miss Jeanette spoke about this today. There is an urgency.
Yes, Lord.
We can't be continue to be table fed. We got to put his words into action and start bringing souls to him.
Absolutely.
You know, say that again.
It's an awakening time. It's an awakening time. He's been speaking to me. It's just critical now, very critical.
Yes.
Yeah. So time's thank up. You for that word. That was beautiful. Yes, time's up. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Good work. Alexandra, would
yes.
you close us in prayer?
Prayer request.
Absolutely.
Any prayer requests?
I have one, and I'll go ahead and open in prayer for that person. Anyone else? All right, I'll go ahead.
I do have one. I have
Richard.
I pray for the people that are not on the call. That they will,
sure.
the Lord will touch their hearts, and those that are lost, that we that are on the call will have more of a deeper desire to reach out to the lost.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure. Absolutely. Anyone else?
Strengthen All their right. ministry.
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, most gracious God, thank you for a wonderful moment in time, Father God. Thank you for your presence this moment, Father God. We heard your message deeply, Lord God. Thank you so much. Your words, your heart, your love, Father God, is like nourishment to our body, mind, soul, and spirit, Lord God. Allow what we heard today, Father God, to be planted on our hearts and never to be forgotten, Father God. Yeah. I plead the blood of the Lamb first and foremost, Father God, for everyone who made it to the call today, Father God. This message was specifically for us, Father God, and we will adhere to it, Father God. I want to pray for those who tried to make it, Father God, and was intercepted or distracted by something of the world, Father God. Let them hear these words today, tomorrow, sometime in the near future, Father God, so they can be nourished, so their souls can be ministered to, and their spirit be ministered to, Father God. I want to take a moment right now, Father God, to lift my beautiful friend Lynn Starr up, Lord, and I'm asking for supernatural healing of cancer in her body right
yes.
now, Lord.
Yes,
the
Lord.
Doctors are saying that her counts are too low for her to receive chemo. But you know what, Father God? Your word mm. says, by your stripes, Lynn Starr is healed, Father God. So
yes,
I am declaring,
Amen.
Decreeing in this moment, because I know you're present,
yes.
for her supernatural
yes.
healing in Jesus
yes,
Christ.
Lord. Please, Lord.
I also want to reach out, Father God, because we have sisters and brothers, Father God, that know the importance of making it to this call, making it to the Word, making it to your house each and every Sunday, Father God, but they're not doing it, Father God. I am asking
yeah.
in Jesus Christ's name that you reach out and touch them, Father
Please,
God.
Father.
And I ask this because,
Please.
Father, you've already told me we are in critical times. You told me
yeah.
we don't have time to waste, Father God. We are losing
yeah.
some of our Christian brothers and sisters, Father God. I am asking that you bring them back home, Father God. Bring
Please,
them back
Father.
Where it's safe. Let them be ministered
yes,
to and strengthened in your word, Father God. And those
yes.
that are lost, Father God, there are
yes.
so many that are lost. There are so many, Father God, and I know you know this, that have heard your word yet have decided not to adhere to it. I don't know why, and I don't care, Father God, but I'm asking for your help. We are asking
Please,
for your
Father.
Help. We need your strength. We need your grace.
Yes,
we need your mercy
yes,
to do
yes,
your
yes,
will
yes,
right
yes,
now,
Lord.
Father God, right
Please,
now.
Father.
Your
right
soldiers
now.
That are on this call right now, Father God, we
yes,
are
Lord.
Asking for desire. We are asking
Please.
For gumption. We are asking
yes.
for protection and strength, Father God, to go out
yes.
and save as many
yes,
souls as we can for the kingdom of
yes,
God, Father God.
Please,
we
Father.
Need you, Heavenly Father. We need
Please.
Your strength, Father
yes,
God.
Yes,
we
yes,
need
yes.
desire to do your will and your will only, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
I ask these things.
Thank you, Jesus.
And our Savior,
yes,
Jesus
Lord
Christ's
Jesus.
Name, amen,
yes.
amen,
amen,
and amen. May God be the glory.
Amen.
May
amen.
God be
amen.
The glory.
Amen.
Thank
Praise
you,
the Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank
you, Lord.
Thank you.
Ooh, you are welcome in Jesus Christ's name. Have a blessed day, everyone, and I will talk to you
Have
next week.
Day.
Ms. Jeanette, I'll call you sometime
call you.
Soon.
Good talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye.